Hello and welcome to the Parent Survival Kit podcast, from surviving to thriving in your household. My name is Gene Schwalen. Next to me, as always, is my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwalen, pediatric psychologist expert and nationally certified school psychologist. Today, we have a really exciting episode, and actually, it's going to be a three-part series we're going to actually jump into, all of revolved around finance. Today is going to be how to be a financial role model for your child. You know, one of the things that that we know in our society, especially here in the United States, is that finance causes so many issues in the house, in the marriage, work, stress. In fact, when it comes to divorce, it's the second leading cause of divorce, where 41% of divorces are due to financial complaints or arguing issues and whatnot. So it's a really big issue. And so I think it's really important to really start talking about this at a very young age with our kids, to really kind of help teach them the value of money, what it means, how do we get money, where does it come from, and really how to utilize it, you know, the best way possible.
So we're talking about role modeling, what, like financial responsibility, financial health, financial literacy, all those topics, how to convey those to our children as parents. So I can tell you, you know, you don't want to start too young, because at very, very young ages, children just don't have the capacity to understand the concept of money. You know, there's this thing about money that you have to earn it over time. And time is that key concept that children just really don't understand for a long time, actually. They don't really develop an understanding of it until like they're 8, 9, 10 years old. And sometimes even then they still struggle with it. So earning enough money over time to then be able to go and purchase something, right, that you want or need in your life is not a concept that kids can really understand or grasp. Kids, you know, as young as 1, 2, 3, and usually, you know, 8, 9 even, so just really young children, under 10, let's call it that, really get feedback about how they're doing or how something works, like, ooh, this is good, this feels good, I'm going to keep doing it, that kind of thing. Or there's like positive outcomes when I do these things, so that means I'll keep doing it. They're going to get that feedback on an ongoing basis throughout the day, numerous times a day. So we're talking about immediate reinforcement, okay? If a child does something that you're happy with them doing and they're below the age of 10, I don't recommend you pay them for that good thing that they did. I recommend you give them verbal feedback. You maybe have them earn some privileges, right? But not earn money for doing well in life or following your directions, right? Because they don't get that, okay, you know, I hear it all the time. Parents, they don't understand the value of it. And I hear it all the time, you know, that parents will say, well, I told my child that if they, you know, got straight A's for this full, you know, grading period, that at the end of the 9 weeks, they would then be able to get their new video game. Well, a kid can't wait 9 weeks, right, for that video game. They want what they want right now. They need that immediate feedback that they've done something well. And so asking them to save their money, right, and then be able to go buy this new video game that they want, it's also going to be too difficult for them if they're not old enough to understand the concept of money and time. Sure. Like, you know, we're talking about the pros of allowances, and you kind of mentioned that, you know, there's some parents out there that really don't know where they stand on if a child should get an allowance, or maybe adamantly against it because they just cannot fathom paying their child to do something that maybe they believe their child should be doing anyways. And so that's when I, you know, I can come in and I can talk to parents about the different pros and cons of doing an allowance. And I usually want families to do what feels good for them. I want them to stay within their value system and what they believe about what they're trying to teach their children. But I always want parents to be very intentional about why they're doing what they're doing. And so if parents struggle with, you know, the idea of, well, I shouldn't have to pay my kid just so that they make their bed or finish their chores, you can always set it up so that there's always like the bare minimum of what's expected. Well, okay, you know, you just need to follow directions, get your homework done, you need to make your bed, and you need to fold your clothes every week. But anything that I ask you to do beyond those basics are what you can earn an allowance for. So, you know, that's kind of a compromise where parents can feel better about not just paying their kid just to function, right, the way that you would expect. And then I also advise parents, you know, when I'm working with them in therapy sessions, on it's also a privilege, you know, if you want to set it up this way, to be able to spend your money. Okay. So even though your child is earning an allowance, you can absolutely put boundaries around when and how they get to earn the privilege to now spend the money that they've earned. Okay. So it's not just on a whim. It's my money. I can do whatever I want with it, mom or dad. Right. And I decided to spend it on, you know, $50 worth in candy at the store. It's no, you know, you're still expected to meet certain expectations. And then if those things are also happening, then we will allow you to go shopping this weekend and spend your money. Right. So you can control it in those ways and still make it very much about, you know, parenting your child and teaching them not to just spend money on a whim. You know, you're talking about our almost 9-year-old now and how in the moment she'll want one of those impulse purchases at the grocery store, right? Checkout lane. And you'll say to her, do you really want to spend your money on those things? Like, you get her to think about it in the moment. You know, that's the choice you've made. But there are some parents that will say, I don't even want them to think they can spend it in the checkout line just because they have it. I'm going to also put boundaries around when it's time to spend their money.
By their parents growing up, or what they noticed and the parents demonstrated and how they utilize money. So, you know, using cash can also have a really big benefit for kids, because you can look at going to the store and, you know, you have so much money, and, you know, we'll use a grocery store as you just did as an example. So you've got $50, you use it at the grocery store, okay, you used all $50, and then your child says, hey, I want to get some dessert on the way home. You're like, well, I can't do that because I had $50 and we just used it all on groceries. We're going to have to go home and actually make dessert at home. So that way they do see that there's also an end to cash, okay? So when you use credit cards, you can't really demonstrate that as easily because it's a credit card, right? There's the card is still there. It's not going away. Again, I use cards for a specific reason, but you can still do the same thing with cash when you're talking about kids. Like, if you're going to the store, if you're not doing an allowance, but you're going to go and buy them something, you can take cash and say, you've got this much money to spend this weekend at the store when we go. And so choose what you want and choose wisely, you know, see what you really want. And that way they do have a certain limit, and they understand that there's going to be a concept to money. You can't just buy anything you want, you know, and then they have to choose and whatnot. So,
yeah. And I love that. Recommendation also is giving them kind of like the stash of cash and then saying, go choose wisely. And when you run out, you run out.
Absolutely. And when it comes to finances, you know, one thing that I've always done, and you can start this very young too, 6, 7, 8 years old, even playing Monopoly with actual paper money, those things can be very beneficial. We've got a kitchen that the kids love to play with, and we've got a money till that they can actually utilize and whatnot to purchase things. Lemonade stands, I know those are a big pain in the rear end for parents. Kids love them. We usually have to spend our own money to pay for the lemonade, but and to buy the lemonade, because no one else in the neighborhood wants to buy it. You may have COVID, you can't buy that, you know, type of thing going on now. But just demonstrating money habits. So also one thing that I've done is, you know, my old checkbooks, you know, if you have an old account or whatnot, the account's closed, who cares? Give them a checkbook. Show them what it is. Give them the actual, they love the actual checkbook with the cover and whatnot. And inside you have the register. Teach them how to utilize that. That's so beneficial. Most people don't register or balance their checkbook. And there's so many programs these days and whatnot. It's all automated in different ways. But knowing how to really just calculate your money is so crucial. One of the first things I would make a client do in my consulting business when they came to me, and most of my clients were either business owners and trying to expand their business or maybe buy a business, or they were families trying to buy a house and they had either some financial or credit issues. And the first thing I would make them do is go buy one of those composition books and have them write down every day for a month every single penny they spent. If they spent 50 cents at the Coke machine, they would have to write it down this book. And then they would actually go and put it in different categories. So we'd have our buckets, right? So we have our grocery bucket. And you can do this with your kids too. Like, we have our grocery bucket. We have our travel bucket. We have our you know, our whatever we want to do bucket. So that's, we put money in there. And whenever we want to do something, we have that money. Whatever's there, we can do it, right? But these buckets are really, really cool. But that just allows us to really be creative of how we actually model that for our kids. But these parents or these adults, when they looked at the end of the month, all the money they spent, they couldn't believe how much money they spent in certain areas. I mean, it was mind boggling to them. Going out to eat, that's such a huge money expense that people don't really realize, Dr. Swalen. Especially nowadays with DoorDash and everything else, it's so easy. Everything's at your fingertips. It's so easy. I'm hungry. You know, oh, I don't even have to go and leave my office or my home to go get the fast food or the restaurant meal anymore. I can have it brought to me, and it's free if I spend more than $15. So we're buying more things than we normally would, so we get the free delivery. But when you look at the money people spend on takeout and eating out, you would be blown away, and it's getting worse and worse.
Or Starbucks, right? The latte on the way to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the coffee from McDonald's that I see everybody with.
But showing kids how to actually balance a checkbook, how to track their expenses, is so, so crucial from a very young age. If they don't learn it during the young ages and throughout high school, they're not going to learn it in college.
Well, so, you know, what you're talking about with the checkbook ledger at the back of the checkbook, you know, it's so old school. I mean, it is so old school that I don't even know that half the people listening are even going to know what we're referring to, right? But, but you know, it's just literally like a couple, it's like a few, it's a sheet. It's like not even, it's like the size
it's a little
of a
book.
Cell phone. Like, it's so
well,
small.
No one carries a checkbook anymore either. Right. Mine stays in my drawer at home, but.
It's just a bunch of rows, and it allows you to write what you spent, the date, the title, like what you spent your money on or where. And then the amount, and then essentially you just add it up as you keep going down in rows on the page. But the reason why I also would recommend something like that to parents if I'm working with them in a therapy session is because I'm all about, and I've said this over and over again on all of these episodes, is, you know, we've got to get back to the basics. So even when I'm training, like my postdocs and my interns, for example, we have so many programs right now in the field of like psychological assessment that allows us to do things electronically and really fast and cuts out all the pen and paper and the handwriting and the calculations, because we just have computer programs that can do all of it for us right now. And so, you know, even though we have all of that, I make every single student that trains under me go back to the old way of doing it, because I want them to know what we're doing like the back of their hand, you know? So if we don't have internet or computer one day, they can still get the work done and they know exactly how to score everything, interpret it, and move forward. It also helps teach them like the value of what we're really trying to do here and what a big deal this is to diagnose somebody with a disorder that could change their life. We don't take that lightly. And so it's the same concept. I'm like drawing the parallel here is, you know, you want to teach your children how to do just the basics of even balancing a checkbook and understanding their budget with their own record keeping system with, you know, just pen and paper,
yeah,
rather than relying on a calculator or a computer to do it for them, because that's the only way they're going to have like true ownership over it and really understand the importance of it and the meaning of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. You know, when we think about, you know, you're talking about clinic, right? So I'm thinking to like when I used to work with all my clients, you know, we would see a lot of anxiety, tons of stress. I would see couples, you know, in arguments because they couldn't buy the house that they wanted, you know? They couldn't do these things because of financial problems. I mean, finances is probably the biggest stressor and anxiety-provoking, you know, instigator that's out there, right? Finance. Money rules the world, unfortunately, in a sense to where we have to have it to live. You know, you have to have money to live. And so because it's such a crucial part of our entire livelihood forever and ever, and it will never change, we've got to start teaching our kids at a very young age. So that's never a problem with them. You mentioned like the ledger and whatnot, and I know the checkbook register is really old school. that's why I have so many that I give to the kids, because I don't use them. And so I give them to them and they think it's cool. But, you know, one thing I've done with our 18-year-old all throughout his years growing up is I had his envelope and we would just write on the front, okay, he started out, first deposit in the envelope was this much money. And so we'd write that down. And every time he would put money in there, we'd write it down and we'd put where it's from. And then we would, you know, if he wanted to take some money out, we'd take it out and we'd show what it's for. And so he was able to save time. When kids actually have access to money like this, and it's good for them, I know there's, we can also go put it into a Roth or invest it or put it in a savings account. Those things are also good if you're talking about more substantial money. When you're talking about 20 bucks here, 30 bucks here, 5 bucks here, 3 bucks here, a dollar here, it's really good for kids to actually see that cash and also be taught of what it means. And them watching it grow and grow and grow. When you teach your kids to save money and they can watch it grow, that's when they decide that, you know what, I don't really want to spend it. I like having it here because I really need something or want something. And the more they save, the harder it is to spend that money. So it teaches them how to save money for a lifetime. And that's so crucial. So many people don't ever retire, not because they don't want to, because they can't. And that's really sad that we have to work until the day that we die because we never save money properly. Starting kids out at a very young age is so important. And if you do start doing a college fund for your kids at an early age, if you do start having a Roth for them or start investing that, teach them what you're doing. Show them what they're doing on a monthly basis. Show them where the money's growing. Show them how their money is actually working for them. And they're earning more money and they don't have to do anything to earn that money. So they work hard for this money, but yet they don't have to work hard for the growth. That's really cool stuff, right? So that's things that can just really change a kid's life. And then if we are talking about allowances, well, I want to jump back to that just really quick. One thing I didn't mention. If you're going to pay your kid an allowance, and again, that's up to you whether you do that or you can do it for extracurricular, types of tasks or whatnot, that may be one-offs here or a couple times a month. But if you're going to pay a weekly allowance or a monthly allowance, and I do recommend if you are doing allowance, you do it weekly because that instant gratification and whatnot that you mentioned earlier, that you pay it on time. You bring it to them and you say, hey, great job this week. But you also have to be very strict with it also. If they didn't do all of their tasks or all their chores, if they didn't do everything to earn the allowance, then you also, at the end of the week, you go to them and say, unfortunately, here's your allowance, but you don't actually get this because you didn't do all the work.
Well, now I just want to be real clear because what we're recommending is that allowance is actually tied to them earning it, right? And if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, then they don't earn it. There are some families out there who will just provide an allowance with no contingency attached, right? So it's, every month you just get an allowance, but there's no actual boundaries for what, there's nothing set up to, the kid has to do these things first in order to get it. So, but what we're talking about is, adding in that responsibility factor of, well, did you check all your boxes? Did you get all the things done? Did you hold up your end of the deal, right? In order for me to then pay you this allowance.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can even go as far as if they did a really good job one week, you can actually give them a couple extra dollars and say, hey, you know what? You really went above and beyond this week. You did a great job. But one thing I do want to also really warn parents against is holding it over the kid's head. Because then it becomes, a negative connotation with money and everything else and responsibility. We're not trying to teach that. We're not trying to bribe our kids to do their chores so they can get money. It just needs to be, hey, this is the deal. This is what we do. You do your chores. These are requirements regardless. And when you do them effectively, you do them well, you do them completely, then you're going to be able to actually earn, this much money each week for doing those things. And that way they understand it's expected, it's required, no matter what. And, this is what happens. And if there's times that, maybe money is tight this month or, that you're going through the budget. Next month, money's really tight. I really don't have the money to give the allowance, this next month. You can actually have that conversation with kids too and say, hey, you know what? Or if you're planning a trip or if there's something special you're trying to do, whatever the case may be, having those conversations is really crucial as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not a, you don't want your children to think of it as if you can't pay me the allowance, then there's no reason for me to do my chores either, right? So it's not just like a ticket out of their responsibility, but it's modeling this really open communication of, hey, we have other things going on this month. So one of the things that's not going to happen is your allowance. You're still expected to meet the minimum requirements, however, right? So you just make that really clear.
Absolutely. One of the biggest problems in relationships when it comes to money, as we talked about, it stems from communication or lack thereof. You know, we're scared to communicate about money. We have our own feelings about money. We all think differently about money. We're going to share accounts. We're going to split accounts. And we'll go through more details on that next week. But when you create that open line of communication about money, it's not a negative thing. I don't have to feel bad or anything else like that. Money is money, okay? And it's just money. We need it for certain things, but at the end of the day, it's just money. And we really learn from that. The last thing that I wanted to kind of touch base on, when kids are trying to purchase something, they have some money they've earned, they've been saving up some money, and they want to make a purchase. The last thing that I will encourage parents to do on this podcast today is to really teach your kids how to value shop, okay? Or look for the best deal. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes it is what it is, right? But there's a lot of times kids want something and it may be cheaper this week at Target versus Walmart. There may be a special deal like during the holidays. There's sales that are going on. You know, there's a sale coming up. So let's not buy it today. Let's wait till, 2 weeks from now, there's going to be a sale coming up and we can actually get it cheaper then. Let's look at Amazon versus this. Let's do some price comparisons and whatnot. That really teaches kids also how to really be effective in their money spending habits and really trying to find the best deal so they can save more money.
Yeah, so I mean, is that really the last thing you want to talk about today, or you want to add in a little bit of being generous with your money and how to teach children how to do that?
We can definitely get into that if you want to. I was really thinking about having that as a separate, its own episode, because okay. I really want to kind of go into detail about that. One thing that we try to model with our kids is saving money, but everything that we have been given and everything that we are given is a blessing. And so we want to give back to our Creator, to the Lord, and so showing them what that looks like and making our kids really get excited about giving and whatnot. So there's all kinds of ways to do that. So I'd like to touch base on that on another episode.
All right. So maybe this is a three-part series.
Cool. All right. So this is part one. So again, just start today. Think of some ideas. And when I say start today, have some thoughts, have some conversations with your spouse. You don't have to go and line something out this week if you don't have anything out there already. But just think of some really good ideas. You know your kids better than anyone. So figure out how you can really model what money really looks like, what it means, the value of it, and how to save it.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining the Parents of Advocate podcast from Surviving to Thriving in Your Household. We'll see you next week.